We continue with the letter from Father Damaris, professor of theology, missionary of St. Joseph, written at Lyon in 1801. They have taken away my Lord. After having contemplated on Jesus, would you still fear the deprivation of prayers and ceremonies of the church that was established to sanctify and honor our last moments, our death and burial? Remember that the cause for which we suffer and die gives to this deprivation a new glory and gives to us the merit of the last bit of resemblance we can have to Jesus Christ. Providence has wished and permitted for our instruction that the Pharisees should put guards at the sepulchre to guard the body of Jesus crucified. It has even wished that after his death, his body should remain in the hands of his enemies, and that in order to teach us that however long the domination of our enemies might be, we must suffer it with patience and pray for them. Saint Ignatius, the martyr, who had so much ardor to be eaten by wild beasts, did not he prefer to have them for a sepulchre than the most beautiful mausoleum? Even the first Christians who were delivered to the executioner, all the confessors and all the martyrs, never worried about their last moments nor their graves. None of them worried on what should become of their bodies. Yes, my children, when one has trusted Jesus Christ all his life, he still trusts him after his death. Jesus on the cross and near to death saw the women who had followed him from Galilee. His mother and Mary Magdalene and his beloved apostles were near the cross in sorrow, silence, and grief. There, my children, is the picture you shall see. Most Christians feel sorry for those among the faithful who find themselves persecuted, but they keep themselves apart, while some, like the mother of Jesus, go to the innocent which wickedness strikes down. I remark with St. Ambrose that Jesus' mother, who stayed at the foot of the cross, knew that her son was dying for the redemption of mankind, and wishing to die with him for the accomplishment of this great work. She did not fear to annoy the Jews with her presence and desiring to die with her son. When you see someone die, all forsaken, my children, or by the sword of persecution, imitate the mother of Jesus and not the women who had followed him from Galilee but kept back at the foot of the cross. Be pierced with this truth, that the most glorious and salutary time to die is when virtue is strongest in our heart. One must never fear for a friend of Jesus Christ when he's suffering. Help him, even by our looks and our tears. That, my children, is what I believe I had to tell you. I believe it's sufficient to answer your questions and calm your fears. I have put the principles without going into detail, which appears useless. Your reflections will certainly make up for it, and our conversations, if Providence ever permits, shall be on what you've done and what will inspire you to new desires. I must tell you, my children, not to worry at what you are witnessing. Faith is not allied to these terrors. The number of the elect was always small. Only fear that God does not reproach you for lack of faith and for not having been able to watch an hour with him. I admit, however, that humanity can grieve, but in so saying, I shall add that faith must gladden. God does all. Bear this judgment. It is the only one worthy of you. The unbelievers themselves delivered this judgment when the Savior was making miraculous cures. What he is doing now is far greater. In his mortal life, he cured the body, but now he cures souls and completes by trials the number of the elect. Whatever God's plans are for us, let us adore the depth of his judgments and put all our confidence in him. If he wishes to deliver us, the time is near. Everything turns against us. Our friends oppress us. Our relations treat us like strangers. The faithful who used to worship with us are turned away with a single look. They fear to say that not only unlike us, they are faithful to their country and submit to its laws, right or wrong, and also claim to be faithful to God. They fear to say that they love us or even know us. If we are without help alongside men, we are assured of God's help, who, according to the prophet King, will deliver the poor from the powerful and the weak who have no help. The universe is the work of God. He reigns over it, and every happening is according to the plans of His providence. When we believe that desertion is going to be general, we forget that a little faith is enough to give faith to the family of Jesus. Like a little leaven makes all the dough rise. These extraordinary events, where the mob wields the axe to undermine the work of God, serve marvelously to show His omnipotence. In every country will be seen what the people of God saw. When the Lord was wanted by Gideon to show His power against the Midianites, He had him send back most of His army. Only 300 men remained, and those without arms, in order that it could be seen that the victory was God's. This small number of Gideon's soldiers is the number of the faithful elect of that century. You've seen with the saddest astonishment, my children, that out of all those called, since all of France was Christian, the greater part, like in Gideon's army, remained weak, timid, and fearing to lose their temporal interests. God sends them back for use in His justice. God only wants those who give themselves to Him entirely. Do not be surprised at the great number who quit. Truth wins, no matter how small the number of those who love and remain attached to Him. For my part, I have only one wish, the desire of St. Paul. As a child of the Church, as a soldier of Christ, I wish to die under His standard. If you have the works of St. Cyprian, read them, my dear children. One must go back to the first centuries of the Church to find worthy examples to serve as a model. It is in these holy books and in those of the first defenders of the faith that one must form a precise idea of the object of martyrdom and of the confession of Jesus Christ. It is truth and justice. These are the august, eternal, and unchangeable objects of the faith which one must confess. It is the gospel. For human instructions, however wise they may be, they are temporary and changeable. But the gospel and the law of God holds for eternity. It is in thinking over this distinction that you will clearly see what is Caesar's and what is God's. As by the example of Christ, you must render to one with respect and to the other that is his due. Every century, the Church is in agreement that there is nothing more glorious and holy than to confess the name of Jesus Christ. But remember, my dear children, that to confess it in a manner worthy of the crown that we desire. It is during the time one suffers most that one must have the greatest holiness. I can find nothing more beautiful than the words of St. Cyprian when he praises all the Christian virtues in the confessors of Jesus Christ. You have always observed, he says to them, the command of the Lord with a severity worthy of your firmness. You have conserved simplicity and innocence, charity and concord, modesty and humility. You have carried out your ministry with care and exactitude. You have been vigilant to help those who need help, to have compassion for the poor, of constance in defending the truth and discipline, in order that there be nothing wanting in these great examples of virtue that you have till now given. It is by your confession and generous sufferings that you highly animate your brethren to martyrdom and to show them the road. I hope, children, although God does not call you to martyrdom nor to a distressing confession of His name, to be able to speak to you one day as in the example of this illustrious martyr when he spoke to the confessors Salarius and Arius, and to praise in you your humility rather than your steadfastness, and to glorify you more for your holiness than for your sufferings and wounds. In looking towards this happy moment, profit from my advice and sustain yourselves by my example if necessary. God watches over us. Our hope is justified. he shows us either the persecution stops or the persecution will be our crown. In the alternative of one or the other, I see the accomplishment of our destiny. Let God's will be done, since in whatever manner he delivers us, his eternal mercies pour into us. I end, my dear children, in embracing you and praying to God for you, as my faith and as my sincere resignation to have no other will but that of God. This letter by Father Damaris, which has been printed above, is also available on cassette tape. Not only this letter, but also many other Catholic books and 212 Catholic hymns, as well as organ music for various masses, are also recorded onto cassette tapes. In order to help save souls, I obtained broadcast quality recording equipment several years ago. A friend with a good reading voice has been recording for Holy Family Recordings, and I now have a good selection of Catholic books on tapes available for others. That all might be able to afford the tapes, I sell them, at this time anyway, for just $1 to $2 per tape, plus $5 postage and handling, no matter if you order one tape or 1,000 tapes. To find out more about Holy Family Recordings, please write to Patrick Henry, Route 2, Box 957, Safford, Arizona, 85546. That's Patrick Henry, Route 2, Box 957, Safford, Arizona, SAFFORD, Safford, Arizona, 85546. Thank you. May the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph obtain for you a perfect love of God, true contrition for your sins, and the grace of final perseverance. Ora pro nobis.